Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, my next guest, comedian Jen Kirkman, is going to be at the Talia Hall in Pilsen on April 23rd. Kirkman just put out a new book entitled I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies That I Tell Myself. She's a comedy force, from writing and performing on television to her Netflix special, which came out last May, to her podcast, I Seem Fun. And of course, on stage, Kirkman tours her stand-up worldwide. She's been doing that for the past 8 years. Jen Kirkman, welcome to The Download.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. So, you know, let's talk about the book. I mean, the subtitle here is Dispatches from a Life Under Construction. What was the point of writing a book about your life under construction?
Well, I mean, this is the dumbest answer I'm going to give, but I'm an author, and you know, just like J.K. Rowling does Harry Potter, or someone else does crime fiction, I do real true story essays from my life that are revealing or whatnot. And so that's always sort of the genre that I'm going to do. So, and that's what my stand-up's like and all that kind of stuff. But when I originally started writing the book, my editor suggested that, you know, she thinks I'm a confident person with a kind of different kind of life that maybe not everyone lives. And she thought maybe to celebrate it and to make it even more of not an advice book, but like a something to aspire to or advice. And as I was writing it, I was like, I don't know if I have advice about how anyone should handle certain situations, because everything I'm describing is something that technically in the eyes of the world did not go well. And so I just was like, as I'm writing it comes to me, I feel like sometimes a piece of road that is under construction and people drive by go like, when are they going to fix that? And so I thought that would be like a funny subtitle. And then I think it sets it off as like, this is not a how-to book, or certainly like a, you know, people who've written things, it's like, you know, I've really figured it out and I want to share it with you. Like, that
right,
is not
right.
What I want to share with people.
But that's what makes it so relatable. When you read it, you're like, yeah, right. these are stories that can happen to anybody. And I think that's what makes a book like this from a comedian, especially someone who has such success as you have, work.
Well, I'd like to be relatable, or else I don't think it's that funny, you know, to be like, I'm not Oprah, right? So I'm not going to be like, so yeah, I mean, my goal is not only to appear relatable, because I am relatable, but is to, I don't know, remind people. I feel like, and it happens to me too, people that you know in your everyday life don't really tell you the truth about what they're feeling or what's actually going on. And so if I can do that, then maybe that person sitting in bed reading it is like, oh, I'm not the only one.
Well, you're the best-selling author of I Can Barely Take Care of Myself, your other book. But your stand-up is a very open, shared experience. I mean, when you do stand-up, it feels like you're telling us about your life. I mean, you're off the cuff. In the book, at the beginning of the book, you talk about how you're actually pretty fiercely private. Talk about that balance about sharing and putting yourself out there in public and retaining your private life.
I mean, I guess I'm doing, like, a good job, I suppose, of making people think that I'm really telling them everything, but it's, you know, it's just like any other kind of stand-up, like it's carefully constructed, every single thing is written. Like when I'm coming up with new material, I definitely improvise it first on stage and then kind of perfect it later in the writing, but I never, you know, reveal too much. It's hard to explain without giving the examples of the stuff I'm private about, but it's like, I think we've all gone through breakups or divorce or been to an annoying wedding, or you know, we're really thinking this, we're worried about this. I don't say anything that I would be ashamed. You know, like if you've ever gotten drunk and kind of don't remember or something, and you wake up and you're like, uh-oh, I sent that email out, and you really wish you hadn't. I never feel that way when I get off stage or anything like that. I'm really careful with what exactly I reveal, and usually it's more like my thought process, like, oh, I went into this situation thinking this, but then it turned out that. So the only way I guess I can say I keep a good balance is I just have good boundaries. Like I know what would be harmful to other people, harmful to me, and just like plain not funny. You know what I mean? I think if something's too deep, I think an audience can be like, we're not your therapist, but come back again with some jokes. Thanks.
Ani DeFranco was on the show, and we were talking about how her experience at her show, I mean, she shares a lot. She's up on stage. She's performing, but she's also telling stories. She's talking off the cuff about, you know, politics or social issues. And that has changed for her over the years, the advent of social media and technology. People are taping everything and being able to puppet back. I mean, that's something that happens to stand-up comedians all the time. We saw it with Hannibal.
Yeah.
You've been a victim of that. I mean, at some point, do you have to recognize with all these different platforms, whether it be a podcast or, you know, on stage or a television program, that you have to have boundaries as a performer?
Yeah, I think it's important. And I know it's so weird. I wish I knew how to explain, but I'm just picturing her being able to have this intimate moment with however many people are there, whether it's 80 or 1,000 or whatever, and just being like, you know, there's nothing that she's ashamed of saying. It's not that. That's not why she doesn't want it on the internet. But usually when you're part of something for the night, you understand the context of it, mm-hmm. and you understand, oh, here's a person who's maybe just read something in the paper this morning, and they're trying to process it, so they might talk about whatever, Bernie Sanders followers or Donald Trump's rally or something, and maybe they don't get it right, or but they're just being a human in front of us, and oh, we had a great time at the concert, and then everyone goes home, and that's it. Now someone puts it online, everyone reads it out of context, then they only really read the headline of whoever wrote the description of the thing, and it's like, oh, it can cause a lot of outrage, and it can make it less special, even if you're just a fan of hers, when you go and show up. And so it's really not happened to me too much. I've had some people tape record my shows, and someone was periscoping something live once, it's just not, they can't do that. I mean, I don't know how to explain why they can't, yeah. but there's rules at clubs that say do not videotape, and people will put it online, and it's not that it's not worked out, but it's just not, that's not how I would present it on YouTube if I had the choice.
At one point, I mean, it feels like you almost lose control of your own material. There's a story out today that I read that, you know, the guys at the theaters, at the AMC movies, they may just let people text. They just might say, you know what, people are doing it anyway. It almost feels like you can't stop it. You can't stop people from taping your show. You can't stop people from moving.
They gave up pretty fast.
Yeah, right. It took a little bit. But what do you do as a stand-up comedian if you know that there's this almost this, you know, huge boulder moving down the road that can't be stopped? I mean, you have to adapt and figure out, is it going to change your act?
I mean, I just can't even put myself in that position of really worrying about it that crazily. Like, I don't find it happening that much because we just have people policing stuff. But, you know, you have ushers and waiters or whatever in the clubs. I mean, I really just don't see it on my level that much. Maybe if I were in a stadium and I were huge, although I don't think that's a whole other story that I have played stadiums as opening acts for other people and I don't enjoy it, so I don't know if I would do that on my own if I got to that level. But I don't know. I would cross that bridge when I come to it. I mean, my first instinct is like, then I don't do stand up anymore and screw you. You guys ruined it. Like, Everyone put their heads down because one kid in class. So, you know, I won't adapt anything. I won't adapt an art form to a bunch of idiots with their phones. No way. I'd rather just not do it. I'll go do something else. I'll just keep writing books or I'll, like, who knows? But no, I won't adapt it.
In the book, the I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself, we're talking with author Jen Kirkman. You do, you know, replace the names, you change things, but you do talk about some things that are relatable. You talk about your relationships. I mean, you're open to an extent about your relationships in the past, present, and future. How hard is that for you to do when you're writing it down in a book, I mean, as opposed to performing it on stage?
Well, I don't talk about relationships on stage, really, which is sometimes I do if it's a crazy story. Like, I do have something in the book that I have done on stage, which was about one night going out with someone much younger than me. And I was, you know, joking like I was a cougar for a night. But that is, for some reason, I just don't do that kind of material on stage unless there's something funny about me in it. But in books, yeah. I think it's easier to, like, I have a story in the book about someone I went out with, and the red flag was there from the beginning, that he was kind of a needy person that just wanted to be in a relationship, and he was trying to change me, and he was very annoying, but my friends thought, oh, he's the greatest person because he offered to hang up pictures in your apartment. It's one of those stories that's supposed to illustrate when people only have some of the details, they'll push you towards something because it's a romantic idea. And that's funny on paper because I can get into these descriptions, but on stage I sound like the person that's just making fun of someone else. And so I think there's some things, and I don't know how I decide, it's just instinct that I know, you know what, on stage in the context of telling jokes, unless I was doing a one-woman show or something, on stage this is just going to sound like me making fun of someone, as opposed to it's a longer narrative about the psychology of something, blah, blah, blah. That is so much easier to put into a book. We can take our time with it. I can explain it and defend myself and all that kind of stuff.
You know, in the book, you talk about relationships. You talk about your life. You have some great essays in here. You also talk about women in comedy. You talk about Joan Rivers and your relationship, but also your love of Joan Rivers and what she did for comedy. It's a great chapter and a great essay about what Joan had to go through, but also what you've had to experience in your own life when dealing with watching some of your peers, men who are doing stand-up, get shows, do this, do that, you know, before you do, just based on the, on your gender.
That really was like a quick throwaway line in that chapter. What I was trying to say more was comedy's hard for anybody, and there's a part in comedy where you can be doing it much longer than, there's no fairness, you know, and that's a good, that's, I'm not complaining about that. That's just literally how it is. It's not a school you go to where you get a grade and you can't get further if you don't get the grades. There are some people that will make it, quote unquote, very quickly and others won't. And I think, you know, maybe what I didn't make clear enough in that chapter was I was just a young, whiny kid in my 20s. And Joan's story resonated with me. And I'm glad it was, so Joan, you know, pounded the pavement, did stand up 10, 12 years before she got any notoriety, and she was at the time the only woman doing it in peer group, and I certainly wasn't in mine at all. There was an equal balance, but that frustration where you see other people moving on without you, it's not that you're jealous that they're famous, but you're thinking, well, if everyone in my peer group is getting paid to do this now or getting work in television, maybe I'm not good. Maybe it is just these people at night at the bars and restaurants that like me, and I'm fooling myself. It's more that kind of thing that you have to ask yourself, and it doesn't necessarily mean you're bad and you should quit, but there is something frustrating when the numbers of people doing really well start to almost snowball, and generations starting after you start getting things, and you're like, oh my God, is this ever going to happen? And so I said men in there, but I said it because Joan was literally the only woman in her group. For me, it was men and women and, you know, dogs, cats. I mean, there was a time when things were going really bad, and I'm glad for some reason that her story of staying with it stuck with me instead of me thinking, oh, what a loser. I wouldn't put that much time into it if I don't make it. You know, I hear people say, if I don't make it by 30, I'm quitting. I'm like, well, then you'll be quitting. So I think that that's the hard part, is just sticking with something when you're not getting paid to do it and you have to do another job on the side, and just not knowing, like, maybe I'm not good. There's no one to tell me. I always think, like, if you're comedian peers think you're funny, then you're doing okay. You'll get something eventually, because they won't lie to you.
The book is called I Know What I'm Doing and Other Lies I Tell Myself, Dispatches from a Life Under Construction. The author is the New York Times bestselling author, Jen Kirkman. She's going to be at Talia Hall in Pilsen on April 23rd. Jen, thanks for taking some time out, and good luck with the show.
Oh, thank you so much. And I should just tell everyone, it's a fun show. It's like crazy stories that aren't from the book about me being an idiot in life. And so that even includes a terrible dance to a Beach Boys song. I think people will like it.